All right, welcome to another podcast of the White Collar Crimes Podcast. I am Ryan Horn, your host, and as always, I'm happy to be here with you and sharing stories that you may not get to hear at a lot of other places, and sometimes maybe the only place here. So we're glad that you're aboard and part of that. And this one will be an episode that some of you might remember from, it's not been too awfully long ago, as you'll see. And some of you may be the first time hearing it. I know a lot of cases, but actually it wasn't all that long ago when I found out about this case and decided to do an episode on it. I guess I just happened to miss this in the news back when it happened, and just as I said, recently stumbled upon this. So going to bring you the very strange, and this is definitely a different type of case that we don't normally have on here and or anywhere really. It's certainly a unique case, as you'll see, and you'll get to see it because we're bringing you this podcast from our sponsor, The Weekend Angler. Check out his YouTube channel, The Weekend Angler. Learn all kinds of really cool fishing tips and things of that sort. And this is, to start out, we haven't done a whole lot that I recall either on any motivational speakers or those type of folks, but this is a case that does involve just that. And just like all, or I shouldn't say all, but almost all, certainly probably the very solid majority of these cases, things are not always as they appear with people in general. And that certainly, as you're going to see, the case with Mr. Locker, who, in addition to being a motivational speaker and life coach and things like that, he was a husband and a father of three children, actually, supposedly making excellent money, motivating people, did, from what I understand, a lot of speeches and seminars and things like that, teaching people how to manage stress. As you'll see on this one, some of the stress in his life was not so easy to manage, despite him making a lot of money and gaining somewhat of fame by promoting the idea of managing stress and things of that sort. He didn't quite manage to do that in his own life, as you'll see. And it's going to take an unusual twist that even law enforcement was a little baffled by, and that you'll see law enforcement found a little bit of trouble believing this story when it first was brought to their attention. But as I said, at first everything probably seemed okay. He's touring the country, making big money, promoting self-help, managing stress, all of those types of things. But his image didn't quite match reality. And Locker apparently was deeply in debt. And a lot of times that's not uncommon to see people who are living really fancy, maybe have a nice, super nice home, car, thing like that. You automatically think, man, they must really be doing well. And a lot of people probably are. But a lot of times you see that's not always exactly the real case. And if you watch any true crime shows of any type, whether it's something to do with white-collar crime or just crime in general, which actually, stay tuned for that in a little bit, because we do have some major changes coming to the podcast and some other developments. Some of these I've been talking to you about that for a while, and some of these have kind of just recently been in the works. So stay tuned and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But things, as you follow these shows and these cases, it's not always real easy to tell how somebody's maybe doing on the surface. Most of the time you see cases where people that are seemingly got the world by the tail, and behind the scenes there's drug abuse, infidelity, financial problems, on and on in the marriage or a business relationship or something, where things unravel and crime gets involved. And sometimes, sadly, it even turns deadly, which you will see in this case is sadly the story in this one as well, with, again, some little unusual turns and twists that you'll see. But they're not always as they seem. And for him, apparently behind the scenes, they were badly in debt from bad investments that he had made, including some money that he had invested in a $300 million Ponzi scheme from con man Lou Pearlman, the manager of the Backstreet Boys. And I suggest going back a couple years in this podcast, and you can see I did a podcast on Mr. Pearlman, actually, who had a massive Ponzi scheme going, ripped off a lot of potential wannabe stars and artists and things like that, among some other schemes and scams he had going. He ended up dying in prison, but he made a lot of money and launched a lot of bands like the Backstreet Boys and some other ones that were really big. You know, if you're my age, Gen X, you probably remember back in that time the boy band craze. I can remember, you know, back you'd turn on the TV or radio and you'd always hear or see one of those bands like the Backstreet Boys, or I think there was like 98 Degrees and a few other groups from that, and they were highly popular, especially with, you know, young girls and whatnot. But he made a lot of money off that, but he also made a massive amount of money on some Ponzi schemes he was conducting. And sadly, Jeffrey Locker was one who had invested in that and lost a lot of money. Now, it's not unusual for somebody be victimized by a Ponzi scheme or just find their way into debt. In fact, it's quite easy. I had a friend, haven't talked to him in several years, but he used to be, or he might even still be, a bankruptcy attorney. And, you know, I asked him about how it was handling clients that are involved in these situations and how difficult it might be for him. And he said something I'll never forget. He said, you know, in this country, it's just too easy. He said, it's like obesity. You know, in America, everywhere you go, there's food everywhere, and it's just so easy to get fat and even obese. And that's why America has, you know, we have a serious health problem with that in this country because of our eating habits and things like that. And I'm as guilty as the next guy. I certainly, throughout my life, haven't always eaten like I should. But that's no different, as he said, with debt. It's just so easy to get credit and debt in this country. So, you know, we have students 18 years old right out of high school going to college and taking out massive student loans, some for six figures. And, you know, 18-year-olds, you can get a credit card anymore with very little money even. And it's just so easy now to get credit where it wasn't before. I can remember my first car when I was barely an adult. If I recall correctly, I think my mom had to sign for me because at that time I didn't really have any credit or anything. And I learned a bad lesson that, or I wouldn't say a bad lesson, but this was kind of really a reality check for me that in this country, having no credit can sometimes be worse than actually having bad credit, because I guess the potential creditor thinks you could be a huge risk because they don't know anything about you. I don't know what entirely the rationale is behind that, but that's what I was told and learned at that time, that in some cases, some potential lenders will look at you more unfavorably if you have bad credit, or I mean, I'm sorry, no credit versus bad credit. But most people that are in a bad debt situation might consider bankruptcy or maybe trying to just work their way out, chisel their way out. I know there's a lot of debt relief programs even at the time this case happened, and there's ways that you can usually get out at some point, but sometimes the stress of that can be too much. I can remember a former comedian that had hosted Family Feud. Again, some of you my age might remember Ray Combs, the comedian. Had a lot of debt and stress, and his marriage fell apart, some business failures he had, and declining acting and comedy career, and ended up taking his own life pretty young age. I think he was only maybe like 40, 41, something like that. Left behind a wife and several kids. Very sad situation, what debt and stress do to people. And right now, I saw a while back, it's been, I think, towards the end of last year or sometime, that the average, right now the credit card debt in this country, the United States, is the highest it's ever been at any point in history. And I have no doubt, there's one reason for that, because of the massive inflation we've encountered the last few years. I know there are several people out there, and unfortunately, sadly, a lot of you listening, or maybe not a lot, but I'd say some of you have experienced it at some point in the last few years, where you've had to use a credit card just for essentials like food and fuel and things like that. And that's what's going on, I think, what's driving the cost up. I don't think that the debt increase is just necessarily people going on vacations or living it up or buying expensive little gadgets and toys that they don't need. I think a lot of it, sadly, now, at the shape of the economy and the inflation that we're facing, they are having to do that just to stay afloat and buy essentials. There are people that are in that boat, sadly. So it's very easy for one to find themselves in that situation. But how Locker went out on that and how he managed to handle it was not the way that he should have, just to put it, you know, most bluntly. Because Locker began to look for someone to kill him, or as he put it, do a Kevorkian. Now, I know some of you younger listeners are probably thinking, what the hell is a Kevorkian? Well, again, if you're Gen X or older, my age or older, you probably remember back in the 90s there was a doctor in the Detroit, Michigan area, Jack Kevorkian. And even though doctor-assisted suicide was not legal there, or that I recall, pretty much anywhere at that time, or probably not very many places now, but he was actually going around, and they were terminally ill patients and whatnot that were hiring him for his services, and he would basically put these people to death, put them to rest and take them out of the pain and misery and suffering that they were in. Well, the problem was he wasn't legally authorized to do that, and he ended up actually going to prison, I think, for a while. And big controversy at the time, and that issue came up of whether or not it's legal. Now, I know in some countries, some of you listening, it may actually be legal in, but I'm not aware of very many places in the United States. I could be completely wrong on this, but I'm not aware of a lot of places. If it is legal, it's probably not practiced a whole lot. But bottom line, he didn't have the authority to do that. But in a sense, Locker was looking for someone to do a basically doctor-assisted suicide on him, and he was looking for someone to murder him and stage it, make it look like a robbery, so his family could get the life insurance money and basically get out of the massive amount of debt that he had apparently incurred. So it's around this time he also took out an additional $4 million life insurance policy, or policies, I should say, with a plural, to potentially leave for his family after he was killed. And it was later discovered in an investigation that he had been kind of counseling and coaching his wife on how to protect their assets and what to do, quote, after he was gone. So how much he really let his wife in on, I'm not sure, and or anybody else for that matter. But he began to really prowl the streets of the Manhattan, New York area to try to find somebody that would do the job. Again, kill him, stage it, make it look like a robbery. He was murdered in a robbery. That's certainly grounds where insurance companies, life insurance companies, will pay up for a situation like that. And that was his plan. And he would, as I said, he mentioned to his wife ways that they would be able to protect his assets. But you got to wonder, would his career and his meal ticket, handling stress, just motivating to be a better person in life, if he just would have maybe come out and admitted that things weren't so great and he was massively in debt, needed help with that, maybe had a lot of other problems in life that were eating at him, yeah, it probably would have at least for sure put his career on pause or on hold. He's not going to be able to tour the country most likely and motivate people on these kind of things if he's struggling that much in his own life. But could he have maybe saved his own life and certainly saved face in the long run if he just would have come forward and been, you know, I'm going to have to take a step back for a while. My life's not so great. I've been ripped off from some Ponzi schemes. I've made some bad investments. I'm massively in debt. Got all kinds of problems. I need to take a step back. Probably, I think he could have saved face and maybe kept his meal ticket and eventually picked up and gone back out on the road and done kind of like maybe even a comeback tour or something. I don't know. But he could have possibly saved face with that. But unfortunately, as you'll see in a little bit, that was not the route that he took. Now, only he could have truly answered what his motive was, and whatever he did know, unfortunately, he left this world with knowing, because on the morning of July 16, 2009, he was found dead in his car, slumped over the steering wheel of his vehicle. His hands were tied behind his back, and multiple stab wounds were found on his chest, and his wallet was missing. So every indication at this point that a robbery's occurred, because what gets a lot of these dopes in trouble that try to stage crime scenes sometimes is they don't make it look like it was actual robbery. They will actually just, in a heat of passion, maybe do the killing or whatnot and then leave. And it's very easy to see that a murder's taking place. But the ones that try to be a little more sneaky about it and get away with these types of murders and things, they'll usually try to make it look like a robbery. Maybe they'll trash the house or something to make it look like there was a struggle, or that the burglars had pilfered through everything to try to take some property, or they might take some property. Okay, well, money and jewelry's missing, so this was a robbery. Things like that to kind of throw the investigators and the police off their trail. So they don't find him with any wallet or anything on him. So they pretty much, I'm thinking at this point, are probably thinking this is just a robbery. It's Manhattan. You know, New York's a dangerous place, and they probably think, okay, well, he's just been murdered and robbed. But they get information, and things change later that day, and they actually arrest a suspect, 38-year-old Kenneth Miner. Now, who was Kenneth Miner? Well, he was an unemployed, supposedly computer technician that had a lifelong history of drug abuse and a pretty long, lengthy criminal history as well. Now, police were able to find him a video of him using Locker's ATM card to withdraw $1,000. So, presumably at this point, probably still thinking it's a robbery, right? Well, this is where I've told you things are going to take a little bit of a twist and turn. This is when things took a turn that the police just simply were not expecting. And because when he was arrested, Locker told the police that, Miner told the police that Locker had paid him to kill him. And I'm sure that sounds really bizarre because you just don't see that a lot. You just don't see every day somebody like, hey, I'll give you money if you kill me. I've been in law enforcement myself for a long time, and I don't know of any cases in my little local area where I've ever heard of that, where somebody paid to have somebody kill them and stage it. Even for insurance money, I haven't heard of a case like this, but that's what happened here. Now, he stated that Locker told him that it had to look like a robbery, so this is why it was staged like it was, as we mentioned. And this was so his family could get the life insurance money that was left behind. And he also claimed that Locker had been cruising all over Manhattan basically to find somebody to do the job. Now, I'm not sure how exactly he stumbled across Mr. Miner, but he did find somebody that was willing to do it. And I don't know if that $1,000 was his pay for it or whatever, but who knows? You can imagine flushing your life away for $1,000, but crazier things have happened before. And if he was a really bad drug addict, you'd be surprised what drug addicts will do sometimes for money. And that's what he told the police, but at first they're obviously understandably not buying that, and I'm sure I probably wouldn't either if I was an investigator in this case, because again, I haven't heard of any other case like that where somebody is paid to kill that person. I've heard plenty of cases, and I'm sure all of you listening have, where somebody pays somebody to kill an ex-wife or a husband or somebody they've got a grudge and or a beef with, but you don't ever hear somebody paying the hitman to kill themselves. a little strange to them, but they look around and they find out that, strangely, in their investigation, they find that Miner was actually probably telling the truth here. And the problem was that the assisted suicide, as I said, was not legal in New York. So Miner, especially, he's not a licensed physician. Even if it was legal, Miner was certainly not qualified. He was, an unemployed computer technician. So he certainly had no right to act on Locker's request to kill him. It's just not possible. A lot of times people in Locker's state of mind will actually pursue what's called suicide by cop, where they'll stage a crime where the police have to respond and they'll have a gun on them. They won't drop it. Maybe they'll point it at the police and they'll force the police to take action and shoot them and kill them. They don't want to kill themselves, maybe for whatever reasons, don't have the guts to do it, or maybe religious reasons about suicide or whatever, but they want to die and they want someone to kill them, so they will force the police's hand to do that. But that's not what Locker did. He just found somebody that was willing to do it for what looks like at this time pretty much $1,000. So he was charged with, Miner was charged with Locker's murder. And he was later convicted of this crime and sentenced to 20 years in prison for it. This was later reduced to appeal down to 12 years. Now, sadly, this family, and this is oftentimes the case in white-collar crimes or any type of crime, the family, the victims of it, are the ones that end up hurting the most and getting the least amount of justice, because with this being a staged crime and not a real murder, obviously the insurance company's not going to pay up, and it really didn't matter because a judge in New York put basically a cancellation on the insurance policy due to the staged suicide. So the family got nothing, no payout out of this at all. And that has to really be tough because they're massively in debt from whatever, the Ponzi schemes, as we said, and whatever bad investments that he had gotten them into. And now he's no longer around to bring in what money he could from motivational speaking or whatever. So they are doubly slammed on this. A lady has lost her husband. The children have lost their dad. and they don't have money coming in to take care of these debts that were apparently really crushing the family. And that's the saddest part about this, and that always almost is in crime cases. The people that are truly victimized are the ones that really get the least amount of care and justice sometimes from the system. But that had to be extremely frightening, I imagine, for that family to have to face the debts now that are been incurred and nothing to pay them off with. And that is sadly what happened in this case. And part of the rationale was that the judge had in this case was that he lied to the insurance company about his income. And that was another thing that really probably image didn't fit reality. He had told the insurance company for the life insurance policies that he was worth $800,000, but a check and an investigation found out later that reality was probably closer to $225,000, and no telling what an actual net worth was back, because again, he was apparently massively in debt. So by lying to the insurance company to get these policies and then staging a robbery murder on top of that to get the money, it was just basically a double whammy for them, and the judge canceled out the policy. So I guess it didn't even matter if the insurance company would have been willing to pay it not, which I'm pretty sure they would not have once all this was uncovered. But that's what happened. And just like so many times we see, those are the folks that are harmed the most. I don't know about his whereabouts. I think pretty soon, if not already, Mr. Minor would serve that 12-year sentence, depending on how things work in New York. And I don't know if they get so many days. Like in Illinois, a lot of times people get day for day where they end up doing about half the actual sentence they get. I'm not sure how all that works in New York if he's out. No real updates or anything about his whereabouts or what he's doing now or with Locker's wife and children. But it is a strange case that sometimes these types of cases and these crimes will take you in a direction that you just don't know. And speaking of direction, as I said, we got some things changing on here that I want to announce and give you a heads up on. Starting next week, we'll begin season 6, but we will be becoming the True Crime Podcaster. Wife and I have been working for a while building this. As I've mentioned for a while, we've had some books. We're close to getting those out, a little bit longer getting that going than we had hoped, but we're really close to getting those out. So we are going to become the True Crime Podcaster. We will have a website very soon with all kinds of articles, crime-related, very educational, because I love to teach. As you know, I teach at a couple area colleges, and I love teaching about crime, and this will be a chance to even spread the knowledge. There'll be access to the podcasts and things like that, and all kinds of other developments will be coming from that. We'll have some videos and some lectures and other types of informational things on this podcast and on the website that you'll be able to keep track of, and just a lot more going, and we'll get the YouTube channel going. That we've held off doing that. We were going to do that a while back with this, but since we planned on a few months down the road, this has been in the works for a while. My wife and I, and working with some other professionals to develop this, we held off on that, but the YouTube channel will be launching very soon with this, and it will be the True Crime Podcaster. Now, we are going to branch out a little bit. We will still be covering white-collar crime, but we're also going to be covering other types of crime because, as I said, I like to educate about crime, like to talk about it, spent my whole life working in it, came from a law enforcement family of cops, and it's what I've always been around, and it's what I always know, and I want to continue to expand on that. So we're very lucky, very fortunate that we can keep that going, and we're going to launch that next week. So please stay tuned for that as we become the True Crime Podcaster. If you have any ideas for this coming new podcast, or if you want to be a guest, email me at ryanhornvt@gmail.com. And again, follow our Facebook page, although some things are going to be changing on that. Please follow us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you can, and give us that good 5-star rating. And you can subscribe too and get additional information. And here soon, we will probably be having some merchandise and things like that that you will get as a subscriber. So please subscribe. I think it's only $2.95 a month for this, and it helps financially support us and keep going. And it's very much appreciated, and I very much appreciate all of you. Check your local shelter to adopt your next best friend. Local one near us had 5 adorable little Chihuahua mix puppies out the other day. I think they'll all be scarfed up pretty fast, but they're out there, folks. They need you, and they need a good home. So please, if you can, open up your home to them. and we're glad you open up our home to us each and every week on here. And we hope that you'll tune in next week for the new exciting developments, and stay tuned because we got all kinds of them going. And we hope that you'll be part of that journey just as you have on this one as well. God bless. Take care, everybody. Talk to you next week.